tremendous truth in music before we open the Word of God today. And for those of you that I have not met yet, my name is Pastor Chris Starr, and I'm from the States, United States, and with Mount Zion Baptist Church located in Brode, Pennsylvania. And I want to thank the Lord today for a godly mother and a godly father. Great impact on our lives, and good training and godly examples before us. And, you know, in the States, there are a lot of preachers' kids that don't want to be pastors or preachers or pastors' wives. And some of that is because pastors and their wives live a different life at home than they do before people. But my parents lived the same life at home that they did before people. It was the Christian life. It was a godly life. It was a loving life towards their children. And it was a life that was centered on what the Bible says. And for that, we're here today because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, number one. But we don't forget, especially me and my sister, we don't forget our heritage.
Amen.
How God has used our parents in our lives. They are our heroes. And when your parents can be your heroes, that's a special, special thing in life. And so I want to say they wish they could be here. Years ago, my father started what was the Shepherd's Retreat under his leadership. And of course, it has grown today in the States, but also expanding here. And I wrote him last night, and I sent him some pictures, and he said to me in a text, that is a dream come true, that we could do it in another country with people over here. And I'm thankful for the Shepherd's Retreat, but I want to say this, that certainly we worked with a number of pastors and their wives yesterday, and some men in training, but the local church right here,
yes,
this is the big deal.
Yep.
All right. I'm glad for that. And that was a blessing, and it's representing multiple local churches. But in God's plan, the local church is what God builds everything around.
Amen.
So what you have here is a treasure to the Lord.
Mm.
It is the big deal to God.
Yep.
It is where the Lord is working in our age. It is where the Lord is working in local churches just like this.
Amen.
And I'm so glad there's one in Phoenix City.
Amen.
I'll talk about it a little bit later today. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Those of you that are visiting today, it certainly is good to have you with us. We're glad you're in this service. You're in a Bible-believing church. What that means is this. We're going to take the Bible in the services, and we're going to teach it. That means we're going to impart the knowledge to you of the Bible. And we're going to preach it. What does that mean, preacher? That means we're going to take the truth and we're going to show you how it applies to your life. And we're going to persuade you to make decisions about truth. That you would be persuaded to change your life to match the truths of the Scriptures. That's preaching. And that's what I intend to do this morning. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. If you can stand today, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll read verse number 2. Alright, I just want to make sure I'm right on time today, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. The Bible says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That word means help. I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to preach this morning on this thought, strongholds that would keep you from getting saved. Strongholds that would keep you from getting saved. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I need your help this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would keep my thoughts clear. Lord, I pray that I would deliver the truth of the Scripture in an understandable way. Lord, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know we've prayed today. Lord, we're asking you to convince each person here of the truths of the Bible. Lord, the Spirit of God is the convincer. The Spirit of God is the one that brings conviction. And Lord, if there's one or two or three or, Lord, I don't know how many that have never been saved according to Scripture, Lord, today I pray that they will come under, Lord, conviction in this service. They, Lord, before they leave today, will put their faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the strongholds that keep you from getting saved. Actually, we have that idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So he's speaking to believers there. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There he's speaking to believers, and there he's saying, hey, you're going to be presented some lies from the enemy, from the devil, and those lies and imaginations in verse number 5, they have the potential to set up a fortress of wrong thinking and wrong belief in your life. And there are weapons, there are spiritual weapons that can tear down those strongholds or those fortresses of wrong thinking. And he's dealing with that with the church. But I believe the same truth can be applied to somebody that is not a believer, but the enemy is setting up strongholds to keep them from coming to Christ. That is wrong thinking. That is what you believe. That doesn't line up with the truth of the Scripture as far as being saved. Now let me define the word saved as we get started in this message, because I'm preaching on strongholds that will keep you from being saved. So it's important that we understand what the word saved is in Scripture. The word saved has the idea of deliverance. Okay? In the Old Testament, when Israel was in a battle and God saved them, or He gave them victory in battle, He delivered them from their enemies. Oftentimes you see that word salvation in the Old Testament, and it's referring to God's deliverance of His people from the nation of Egypt, where they were bound. In the New Testament, that salvation is deliverance from Satan. It is deliverance from your sin. And it is deliverance from the penalty attached to your sin, which is death in hell and eventually in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. So when we're talking about somebody that gets saved, we're talking about a day, a moment in time in their lives where they see their sin and they see their bondage to the devil, the enemy of our souls. And they see the punishment for their sin someday when they die to go into the place of hell, which is a place of torment, eventually to face God at the great white throne judgment and be delivered into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. My friend, that is Bible. That is Scripture. That is what God tells us we need to be saved from. You get saved at a moment in time. You do not get saved over a process of time. You get saved when you are born again. Emil is here. She has a baby sitting in her lap today, Tabitha. Cute little baby. She was pregnant with that baby for a number of months, but that baby had a birth. Birth was a day. Birth was a time. Birth was a place. And so it is with being saved. You have a new birth, the Bible teaches. That is, you're born again. Now, there are people that hear what I'm preaching today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they have a chance to get saved, and they're offered that salvation because Jesus already paid for all sin on the cross once and forever, but they don't get saved. They don't at that moment in time receive Jesus Christ by faith. Now, why is that? Why could somebody be offered that wonderful gift of salvation where I'm delivered from my sin, where I'm delivered from the penalty of my sin, and I'm delivered from the punishment, and I'm delivered from the enemy of my soul, who is Satan, and I'm given a home in heaven, and I'm given forgiveness of sins, and I'm given the righteousness of Christ? Why would somebody see that truth in the Scripture, and then say, no, I don't want it today? And I'll argue this morning, it's because there are strongholds that the devil tries to get in somebody's soul. A stronghold is a fortification. It is a fortress. It is something that is built upon deception and error. You say, well, preacher, how do I know what's right and truth? And how do I know what's wrong and error? That's a very good question. And the way that we measure truth from error is what the Bible says. We have God's Word. God's Word is 100% truth all the time, and it never changes. And so the way that we measure truth from error is we measure it according to the Scripture. Here's a cult, and a cult would believe in soul sleep. Okay? Soul sleep. What's soul sleep? That's when somebody goes to the grave and that's the end of it. They don't believe that the soul lives on forever and ever and ever. Okay? What happens? They don't believe in the immortality of the soul. Now, question, is that right or is that truth or is that error? Biblically, we know that the soul lives on forever and ever and ever and ever, that it's never going to die. When somebody dies physically, their body is separated from their soul. In fact, death means separation. Okay? So when somebody dies physically, their body's dead, but their soul's still living somewhere. And only one of two places, heaven or hell. Well, preacher, I've been taught purgatory. Well, you've been taught something that's never recorded in the pages of Scripture. You've been taught a third place that when we compare it to Scripture, we have to say it's error because it's not found in the Word of God. The Word of God defines eternity by two places, heaven, where God is, and where believers in Christ go, those that are saved, and hell, where unbelievers go, that are unsaved. If you die unsaved, then the truth is, though I don't like to think about this, but the truth is you'll die and go to a devil's hell. Whereas if you die as a saved individual, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He delivers you from your sin, He delivers you from hell, He delivers you from the enemy, then at the moment that you die, you enter heaven. 2 weeks ago, I did a funeral for an 83-year-old lady. Her name is Irene Campbell. Irene's a blessed lady. I wish you had a chance to know her and visit her. Every time that you see Irene, she's in a good mood.
Yeah.
She's in a joyful spirit. I would walk into her room. She stayed. She was in a nursing home. And as soon as I would walk in, she'd have a smile on her face. How are you doing today, Pastor Chris? Irene, though, had to come to grips one day with truth. You see, she grew up in religion. Religion says, I can do my way to heaven. Scripture says Christ has done. Christ has finished the work on Calvary when He died on the cross and rose again. Irene had to make a decision. Either I'm going to continue to believe in error and remain unsaved and remain in my sin, or I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to believe God's Word. And I'm going to put my faith in what God says about Jesus. And I'm going to take Jesus as Savior. Those of you in Sunday school, boys Sunday school this morning, you learned about Joshua. His name means Savior. He was deliverer of Israel, but it was pointing to Jesus Christ, who is the only one that can deliver you from your sins. Some believe that you can go to a priest locally and you can confess your sins to the priest. And the priest can forgive you of your sins. But may I say, based upon the authority of Scripture, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In other words, the priest never died for your sins, but Jesus did. And when he died so that all of your sins could be forgiven. His blood was shed so that your sins could be forgiven, past, present, and future, and you can have a home in heaven. My friend, if you're trusting in a priest today, I'm not here to bash your religion. I am here to proclaim truth. And truth says Jesus is the only way.
That's right.
Only Jesus can save you from your sins. Now, what are the strongholds that will keep somebody from getting saved? Stronghold number one, the stronghold of unbelief. The stronghold of unbelief. In John 3:18, the Bible says this: He that believeth on Him, that's Christ, is not condemned. Condemned is a Bible word. It means to be sentenced. In other words, you're guilty and your sentence. He that believeth on Him, that's Jesus, is not condemned. Watch this. He's escaped being guilty, and He's escaped being sentenced to hell. He that believeth on Him, that's Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not. So it tells me that there are two groups of people in this world. There are those that believe on Him, that's Jesus, and they're not condemned. And there are those who believe not on Jesus. And the Bible says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So if you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never heard any of this. This is all new to me. You're in one of these two categories. You either have believed on Jesus and you're not condemned. You avoid the sentence to hell. You are not guilty before God because your sins are forgiven and you have the righteousness of Christ. Or you haven't yet believed. Which means right now, before God, you are judged as guilty of sin and sentenced because of it. That's condemnation. My friend, that's a serious thing. That's not a good place to be. But you're in a Bible-believing church that proclaims the good news. See, the devil will use any stronghold that he can to keep somebody from getting saved. So there are agnostics today that say this: I'm not sure there's a God or not. There's atheists that say in their heart, where the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They don't believe there is a living God. I want you to understand all of that is a form of unbelief, which is a stronghold that keeps people from being saved. And it is the enemy's work in a heart to push you in the direction of unbelief. To cause you to have fortresses set up in your heart that rejects you putting your simple faith in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God, that's Jesus, hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Do you understand this morning that if you don't believe that there's a God, you're making God a liar scripturally? That is the work of the devil. He is the ultimate deceiver. He wants unbelief to set up in somebody's heart to keep them from believing in Christ. The sin of unbelief is the parent of every other sin. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will continue in your sins and die in your sins without Christ. And my friend, that breaks my heart when somebody does that. Because I know God means His word.
That's right.
Amen. I know that the Bible talks about to be absent from the body for the believers to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
But I also know that the Bible talks about the rich man in Luke chapter 16 who was an unbeliever. He got caught in the stronghold of unbelief. And the Bible says this, and the rich man died. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. And the Bible goes on to describe the torment that he had. The Bible goes on to explain, how he was crying from hell and probably still is crying from hell today. Saying, would there be somebody that could dip the tip of their finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Listen, You can believe the Scripture or you can reject the Scripture, but it doesn't change the truth of the Scripture. Unbelief keeps people from God. By the way, in the very beginning of Scripture, did not the devil use unbelief with Eve? When he asked Eve, "Hath God said?" Remember, they were put in that beautiful garden of Eden. And in that beautiful garden, God gave them all kinds of freedom. All these trees that they could eat of, but one tree they could not eat of. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here comes slithery Satan in the form of a serpent. And he spoke to Eve and he said, "You think God really means what he said? Have God really said that you'll surely die? You'll not surely die if you eat of the tree." And the devil deceived. And Eve believed the devil. And watch this, when she believed the devil, she committed the sin of unbelief in the words of God. See, you can't have unbelief and belief about Jesus Christ. If you don't believe about Jesus Christ, what the Bible teaches, that He's the only Savior, He's the one and only that died and was resurrected. My friend, then if you don't believe that, then you are committing the sin of unbelief. And it is the sin of unbelief that sends a soul to hell. It's the truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. And so, it is an evil heart of unbelief described in Hebrews chapter 3. The Bible says in John chapter 1, He came, Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. In other words, the Jewish people rejected Him as the Messiah. They rejected Him as Savior. They rejected Him as the Son of God. And He came unto them, and they rejected Him. But the next verse says, "But as many as received Him," there's belief, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You say, "Preacher, what if I believe today? What if I get saved today?" You will become a son of God. You'll come into God's family. What's the second stronghold? The second stronghold is self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency, as we look at the Scriptures today. The biggest problem with the statement of "I believe I will make it to heaven, I have lived a good life," the biggest problem with that statement is the word "I." I've lived a good life. I will make it to heaven on my own works. No, that's self-sufficiency. And there's a lot of people that are kept from being saved because of their own belief in themselves. Mm-hmm. Their own belief in themselves. If you were to stand at the gate of heaven and God were to ask you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" I wonder what your answer would be. You understand there's only one right one. Mm-hmm. That is, "God, I have no merits. I have nothing to offer you to get to heaven. But Christ's work, His death, burial, and resurrection, I believe that as the complete payment for my sin." Amen. And my friend, if there's never been a day, a moment in your life that you have come to Christ and been saved, remember our text, what we began with. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, "Preacher, I showed up at this church, somebody invited me, or I read about it somewhere, I saw it on Facebook." You know why God brought you here? So that you could get saved. That's His mercy in your life. That's His grace, that's His love, to say, "I want you as my child." But you have to come God's way. You have to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Self-sufficiency. "Well, I've gone to Mass. Well, I've been a partaker of the sacraments." No, that stronghold grips the mind. But that's a stronghold of Satan. The truth says, neglect those things and turn to Christ. Put your complete faith in Jesus Christ. Stronghold number three. Stronghold number three is procrastination. It goes like this: "Preacher, I believe what you're telling me. I just don't think that I ought to get saved right now. Not right now." There's a man in the Scriptures that was like that. His name was King Agrippa. After hearing preaching like I'm preaching today, he said this. He said, "Almost, thou persuadest me." be a Christian. But I'll wait for a more convenient time, another passage says in Scripture. Listen, my friend, you don't dictate when you get saved.
Right?
Amen. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, if there's something inside of you that's saying, boy, I need what He's talking about.
Amen.
Boy, what He's saying from the Scripture, I need Jesus. Boy, my sin's troubling me. Boy, I have a bad future ahead. Boy, I'm already condemned. If you see that in your heart, there's a weight of your sin upon you. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to be saved today. You need to come to Christ today. Almost, I'll persuade us to me, but there's a lot of almost that are in hell today. A lot of people that sat under Bible preaching like what I'm doing this morning. And they heard it. And they said, I kind of believe what you said, but I need to think about it. And then they never end up getting saved. And they die without salvation. They die without the deliverance from Christ. And by the way, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. But thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Well, preacher, I'll do it. Next week, a couple months ago now, Paul Matters walked into my office. I'll close with this illustration. Paul Matters walked into my office the week before. He had been in a sermon service where I preached out of the book of Revelation. I asked him about getting saved that night. Paul looked at me in the eye and said, Pastor, I think I'll wait. You know what I was setting up? The stronghold of procrastination. The next week, Paul came to my office. Before the evening service, he stepped into my office. I said, Paul, are you ready to get saved? He said, I think I'll wait till next week. I said, Paul, why would you wait till next week? Why would you risk another week? Why would you presume and think that God's going to keep you alive another week? Why don't you take God's salvation tonight? And Paul looked at me in the eye and said, I'm ready to do it tonight. Paul, that night in my office, bowed his head. And he asked the Lord Jesus to save his soul. He just got baptized a couple of weeks ago, but I was so glad that Paul didn't procrastinate any longer. My friend, there are strongholds. They keep somebody from getting saved. There's the stronghold of bitterness that keeps people. There are other strongholds. What I'm saying this morning before Brother Bill comes to close out this part of our service is this. Don't let anything keep you from getting saved today. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never been saved, a day, a moment in time where you hear about your sin, sin's the bad news. We've all committed sin. Christ is the good news. Christ came to die in your place for your sin so that you could be saved, forgiven, and given a home in heaven. That is available to you today. I have no promise that it will be available tomorrow or the next day. I don't know the shape of your life or where your life's going to go. But I would say based upon the authority of Scripture, today is the day. For God's will is for you to be saved today.
Iko natin ang ating ulo, pikit natin ang ating mga mata. Natanggap ba natin ang salita ng Diyos this morning?